Welcome to the Tuck Shop Podcast, everybody. I'm Matt Cernel, coming to you from the spring break here at UPJ. In true fashion, I know we have listeners around the globe. I looked at statistics. We have, I think it's like we're up to like 13 or something countries now. So if you're out there and you've seen this and listened to this and shared this, thank you. Continue to do so. But if you haven't been back to campus, in true UPJ fashion, the first day of spring break, it was 20-some degrees and snowed on campus. So everyone who vacated to a warmer climate had decidedly made a good life decision for spring break. I did not vacate anywhere, so we're going to do a show here for spring break. The only real thing I wanted to still point out is we're still accepting registrations for the Engineering and Computer Science reunion coming up in just a couple of days here. You have just a handful of days left to register if you would like to participate. Everything from their family picnic to their speaker series, and they have a dinner program to wrap up the week to celebrate their engineering week. Certainly a lot of great things going on. If you are interested in learning more, I encourage you to find the alumni page on the Facebook page or LinkedIn, or to find the whole write-up as well as the ability to register at pi.tt/ECS reunion 24. That's pi.tt/ECS reunion 24. You can go on, you can make your reservations, take care of everything right there, and you will be set to celebrate. It's a family event, so alumni, feel free to come back, bring your families, all kind of great events, well worth your time. With that, I get to talk and welcome today's guest, Denise Jennings. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You've not been on the show, but spoken about on the show before. You are a longtime, I don't want to say survivor of Dave.
Survivor of David Janicek. Yeah, we have a support group. There are a few of us, those who have been in intimate contact with David and those who have just been brushed by the Janicek. Yeah, it makes me a little nervous that I have been spoken of, but hopefully you've referred to me fondly.
It's been noted. He enjoyed when I had Sarah on, so it's kind of, this is fun. But more importantly than that, you are an alum with your own really interesting story. What did you originally come to UPJ for to study? And what did you end up studying?
Yes. So I chose to come to UPJ because I was given an option. I live in Indiana County, and the option was I could attend IUP and receive a car, or I could attend Pitt Johnstown, spread my wings, and find my own identity and have some freedom. And of course, that's what I found to be most appealing. So I came to UPJ and was a psychology major.
Why did psychology?
No higher math.
Oh, really? That was the deciding factor.
That was the deciding factor. No, I was infinitely curious about the workings of the human brain. But after securing the undergraduate degree, going on to something that was going to be more in depth, neurologically speaking, I was somewhat intimidated. So I pivoted and secured my master's degree in adult and community education, which I've been doing ever since.
And one of the neat stories, and one of the things that, knowing some of you and having spent time around you over the last 2 years now, you do have a good bit of that type of experience with a couple different projects. Which one do you want to start with? Because I think everything that you've kind of been involved in has been really interesting.
I think I'd like to start with the Blairsville Area Underground Railroad.
Perfect.
And our History Center. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that. So you're in Blairsville now, and certainly a knowing people in Blairsville, and not just talking to you, but other people have this fixture of certainly a for what is a fairly larger community compared to some, but very tight knit, or there's a lot going on.
Yes, that's true. There's a lot going on in Blairsville, and somehow I've been involved in a lot of things just because I'm practically a professional volunteer. So years and years ago, back, I believe it was 2004, maybe 2005, I was involved in the community. I was working with the Blairsville Improvement Group doing promotions of Blairsville. And I was in a tourist bureau dinner, and a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, had said to me, there is Lenwood Sloan. He's the director of cultural and heritage tourism in Pennsylvania. We hear that they have money for some underground railroad related projects. And of course, we had a really good story in Blairsville. So what I did was I walked up to Lenwood, introduced myself, and told him a story of a rescue that had happened in Blairsville. Ironically, it was incorrect because subsequent research, I discovered that our PHMC marker was inaccurate.
Oh.
Yes, but Lenwood said, that sounds wonderful. Why don't you apply for our marketing grant? And so I said, we will. And then I walked away thinking, we have nothing to market except a really good story. So what we did, we formed a group, and we started looking at our region's involvement with the Underground Railroad movement in pre-Civil War America, and started doing some very poor events. The first one was our recreation of what would have been an anti-slavery rally, and then our interpretation of the rescue of Richard Newman that had happened on April 1st, 1858 in Blairsville. Again, both were done very poorly. We were fledgling at that point, and then we became better. We had developed a historic costuming, so we started interpreting these really significant stories in a more professional manner. We acquired the Second Baptist Church in Blairsville, and that is now our Underground Railroad History Center. And we achieved National Park Service status as an educational program. So not only do we tell these incredible stories that have happened here in Blairsville, but we take a more regional approach.
If you don't mind taking a couple minutes for people who may not know the story of the Underground Railroad in Blairsville.
Okay.
Don't give away everything, because we want people to come and actually tour and see everything. But what's
Absolutely.
The 4 minute kind of quick
My
recap?
Elevator
give me
speech?
The cliff notes of the story. I'll keep it in the vernacular here of a
sure
educational
sure.
podcast.
Yes. So in 1858, there was a man by the name of Richard Newman who was living with one of the two Underground Railroad agents in Blairsville. The first being Mr. John Graff, who was a very, very wealthy merchant, and the other being Mr. Lewis Johnston. Lewis Johnston had been enslaved by the Gradual Abolition of Slavery Act, which, because his mother was a slave for life, he was then bound until he reached the age of 28. So Johnston was free, and he was living in Blairsville at this time. And this man, Richard Newman, had escaped his bondage from Hampshire County, which is in the present day West Virginia. At that point was in Virginia. And so he was living for a couple of years in Blairsville. So it was April 1st, 1858, when three men came across the from the old canal, the old mainline canal in on the other side of our river, the Conemaugh River, into Blairsville, and they were there in pursuit of Richard Newman. So the men were Mr. Stump from Hampshire County, Virginia, a Mr. Heck, who was a bounty hunter because there was big money in it, from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And then the third was the Deputy United States Marshal for the Western District of Pennsylvania, and his last name was Frost. So Mr. Frost, Heck, and Stump came into Blairsville. So they crossed the old covered bridge into Blairsville, and ironically, the first person they saw was the man that they were seeking. He was in the doorway of Mulholland's store, which was immediately on your left as you crossed over the bridge. That's where Mr. Johnston lived. He was a Bloom's hauler over the mountains from like the Altoona area. And by blooms, we mean iron blooms, not pretty, pretty flower blooms. So Stump says to Heck, "There's our man. He won't recognize you, so you grab him and throw him into the street, and we will come and help you." So what happened was, the plan had some flaws because Richard Newman fought back very, very strongly, and he ended up flinging Heck into the street. So Stump and Frost then attacked Richard Newman, and between the three of them, they had trussed up Richard Newman and were going to then take him back into enslavement. Well, it was at this time that was almost like a bell was rung in Blairsville, and people started pouring out of their homes, black and white, men and women, and came upon the scene. They surrounded the three men and created a mob. So in the melee, Richard Newman was pulled away, untied, and subsequently disappeared. The three men were pelted with rocks, pelted with sticks. People were crying to tar and feather them, string them up. Well, Stump got so nervous that he pulled a pistol and fired it into the crowd, hitting no one. The other men were equally, concerned and feared for their lives. So someone went running for our mayor and our constable. And they came upon the scene to help stop the men and women of Blairsville from killing these three men. Because although they may not have been pro-slavery, they certainly were pro-law and order and didn't want, massacres in the street like had happened in Christiana 2 years earlier. So also by happenstance were two men who were there, happened upon the scene. Because there was a smash up on the main line, and they had to walk 4 miles to Blairsville. And there they happened upon this group of Blairsville citizens. So they jumped in to stop the people of Blairsville from killing the three men. So after the men were literally kicked out of town, like as they ran, they were kicked and followed and pelted out of town down the towpath of the old canal. The two men who were there by happenstance, a Peter Leslie, who was a geologist, and Dr. R.M.S. Jackson, who had been a physician in Blairsville, they continued on to the train station. Now, these men were actually abolitionists and very connected with very famous abolitionists, but they were also good Christian men who didn't want to see, murder on the streets. So they continued on after the men had been driven out of town, got to the train station, and there they found 30 armed men hiding inside. And across the street in an old barn were 50 armed men. And the woods, according to them, were filled with armed men. And they weren't there to capture Richard Newman, but they were there to help Richard Newman. So Peter Leslie writes to a famous abolitionist, Theodore Parker, about the event. And he wrote that within 36 hours, he believed that Indiana County could pull together 3,000 good and true men.
Wow.
So that's pretty telling. So that was the start of this organization. And then, of course, I'm the researcher and I design our exhibits and do our events, which are, interpretative events. We do a cemetery tour and a walking tour, and you meet people who are in historically speaking, you know, living in Blairsville or interred in the cemetery, and we interpret their stories. But so since that was the starting point and we acquired this building, I've identified 93 Underground Railroad conductors in Indiana County or in the surrounding, you know, close by in other counties. And that's just not people who were anti-slavery, but these were people who either opened their homes or physically guided from one place to the other or provided sustenance clothing along the way. And it's not just Indiana County, you know, Cambria County, Johnstown area was very involved, Allegheny County in Pittsburgh,
We have a marker in Guystown, actually, as a
yes,
stop.
exactly. Abraham and yeah, and Patrick.
Yep.
And they had been shot as they were fleeing and made their way into Johnstown and then subsequently disappeared. And we believe they came in through the New Florence area because we had an account by an Underground Railroad conductor named Katie Coleman, who in the 1830s had helped a freedom seeker who had been shot. So we think that that may have been the either Abraham or Patrick or both. But yeah, there was so much activity and it's really just fascinating, fascinating histories. But because our museum is very small, we have partnered with Indiana University of Pennsylvania and produced 90 videos telling these firsthand stories of these Underground Railroad conductors. And we have this as a digital exhibit in our museum. And the exhibit is called Our Conductor's Stories, A Journal of Resistance. And then it's, you know, a touch screen so you can touch and hear the stories and see the videos and really get a feel for our region's involvement in this movement to help these enslaved people, you know, on their way to freedom. But I'd be remiss in saying that nobody would be talking about any of these people if it weren't for the men, the women, and the children who use this network to freedom. Otherwise, they would just be farmers or they would just be merchants, you know. So really, the true heroes of our story were the freedom seekers themselves.
I think one of the neatest things, having seen parts of this and having it on our list of now that I can travel a little bit better, is and you kind of touched on it, you're living histories where you actually get volunteers to become these people and tell their stories as if they are them in period specific costumes and pieces and through walking tours and incorporate kind of that whole community. That's a really neat way to do it than just read this book or watch or sit in this room and there's a value to those components, but not quite like seeing it.
Well, it's interactive instead of passive. So, and I think that's probably why one of the reasons why we were just awarded a statewide honor, which was a community initiative award by PHMC for how our storytelling. So not only do we storytell in that way and with our museum and with our exhibits, but we also storytell with beer.
Okay. Go ahead.
So you didn't know about the beer.
No, well,
So we have another partnership with Levity Brewing in Indiana, and we have produced two so far different Freedom Seeker beer series. So two beers honor two freedom seekers and two beers honor Underground Railroad conductors. So on the label are images, if we have images, synopsis of their personal stories and a QR code that leads to more information. And what's really interesting is the brewmaster at Levity wants the background information on all of the individuals that we're going to honor so he can brew beer that would kind of correspond with his or her personality.
Oh, that's neat. No, I did not know about that part.
So that way, you might have somebody who enjoys history but maybe isn't interested in the craft beer, and we expose them that way, or really, really like beer. And then we, maybe would never go into our museum, but we get to tell those histories on this really tasty beer.
That is really neat. I had not known about that part of it. Thinking of episode titles now. But could you have thought sitting in psychology courses all those years ago, or some years ago, that this is that the work that you would have done? And clearly everyone who just listened knows that passion you have for this. Going through it. Would you have thought that?
No, never. I knew that I always enjoyed history. My father was really involved in local historical societies, but I always thought that my career would be in counseling, after graduation, and that's what I did. I directed a nonprofit, a supported living program for adults with mental health disorders to help them, living independently. But I never thought that I would do this. But I have to say, though, I grew up in a county that was very, very historic. And I don't know, most people don't know this, but Indiana County was home to not only John G. McCrory of the McCrory Five and Dime stores, but also George Clinton Murphy of G.C. Murphy and Company. And after George died, John Cephas Mack grew the chain up and down the Eastern Seaboard and west to Mississippi. Mack was also from Indiana County, and all three of them were related.
Oh, my.
They were all cousins. And Murphy and Mack actually went to work for their older cousin McCrory and got their feet wet, and then, took his concept and opened their own stores. But the McCrory mansion was someplace that I may or may not have plausible deniability let myself into as a teenager. Because it was open, it was uninhabited, and it was gorgeous, just architecturally stunning. So that was near my home.
Fascinating. Talk about that connection to history. That has to be very then rewarding, knowing that from that point all the way through till today, being able to continue to do that type of work, and find those things and kind of do that detective work to find these stories that have been clearly not lost to history, but obscured by time.
Correct. It is fascinating. I enjoy it very much.
You have had the opportunity now, through circumstances, to be back on campus more prior to this recent stint. Often return to campus. Has this been a dramatic change from when you were here as a student?
Oh my gosh, yes. It's so different. I mean, I was a Heather Five girl, through most of campus and my time on campus, and it's still there. But we had Biddle and Krebs, and we had the sports center, but not in its current iteration. And there was the engineering building, and that was pretty much it. Although, we used the heck out of the log cabin, of course. But it looks
You're
remarkably
in that
different.
right window where the log cabin was. I'm gonna say it's the day
The
of the
heyday.
log cabin,
The heyday
where,
of the log cabin.
yeah.
Go to the log cabin for the concerts, and it was a great time. It was a great time on campus. I worked a lot though at home, so I may not have gotten the full weekend campus experience like Janusek did. I mean, he was Janus second all over that campus, but
I love
you
that's
can,
a
yeah,
verb now.
it is a verb
He's
now.
gonna appreciate when he actually gets around to listening to this episode and without
Yeah.
the.
So yeah, it's a lot different, and he has pulled me in, and so I've done a good deal of volunteering.
It has to be. I'm assuming it's nice to be back and see those things and growth and over the changes and so forth and still have the department. And anybody stand out from a faculty or staff standpoint that you remember? And
Yeah, Dr. Allison was a super professor, and Dr. Hinderleiter, in the psychology department, I really enjoyed him. He was around for a lot of years. I think I ran into him in the I don't know, at a festival in Cambria City or Johnstown, within the past 5, 10 years.
he's retired about a handful of years ago now, and
Yeah.
actually moved up north. But very recently,
Yeah.
very recently, yeah. Dr. Hinderleiter was always fun. Always
Oh,
fun.
yeah.
Sarah worked
Yeah.
for him for a number of years as work study and stuff, and it was always very, very nice, very, very outgoing, very, very in that nice, friendly kind of way. Love Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to other things, just
Sure.
so I can plug
Yeah, I was
my
gonna actually, that
earlier
was kind of where I
initiative.
was heading next, was when people want to find out more about things, where can we send them?
Send them to Underground Railroad BlairsvillePA.com. I know that's quite a bit. Or just Google Underground Railroad Blairsville and you'll come up. We'll come up. We have a good website. Our museum is located on 214 Southeast Lane in Blairsville. Our number is 724-343-1014. It actually rings to my phone, so you'll get me. Our hours are Mondays and Wednesdays from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to noon. But if you have groups or want to come outside of those times, give us a call. We might be able to accommodate you. If I'm not on campus in front of a large fire volunteering with Janusec.
Well, we certainly appreciate the hours you put in or are forced to put in.
Yes,
I
exactly.
do enjoy the events where clearly it's David and I running around like crazy people, and you and Sarah just trying to like, what have we committed to in
Exactly.
this world? Where did
Exactly.
it go wrong?
Yes.
But I didn't want to. It's about a half hour. I wanted to thank you though for taking time. Especially talking about the Underground Railroad, it's been such a neat story to learn about, knowing you and David for now a couple of years, but to share that story out is something I hope a lot of people get a chance to go and see all the work that you've done.
Yes, thank you. It's a labor of love. So yes, I should get back to my day job, which is executive director of Evergreen
Yeah, I
After
wanted to. Did you want
School
to
Club, and
plug that a little bit before we go too, or?
absolutely, we're going to be plugging that. So Evergreen After School Club and Aaron IU and 21st Century Learning Centers, we've all combined to present after school clubs in the elementary or middle schools in Indiana School District, Homer Center, Leechburg, United, Penns Manor. And then Evergreen on its own is opening for the first time in a couple of years, summer camps in Blairsville and in Salzburg. And then we have a new program called Vision for the senior high. It's sort of a marriage of what your mom wants you to learn, combined with what the professionals say you really need, and coupled with what might really interest you. So that's my paying gig, and which of course I should get back to. But if you're interested in have students in Indiana County or Armstrong County, look up evergreenafterschoolclub.org and you'll find out some wonderful information, and all of our clubs are free.
That's good, especially again, you're in that Indiana County area. So if you're in and listening to that, make sure you get out and take a look at those programs because I know the work that you put into those as well, and they are outstanding.
Lot of good people on the ground doing a lot of good work to help the young people of Indiana and Armstrong County. So, yep.
Denise, thank you for taking a half hour plus out of your day now to talk to us and share your story and share the story of the work that you've done.
All right.
It's
Well, thank you
really
so
neat.
much. Yeah, Matt, for having me. And good luck with your NSEC there. And
It'll work.
have a
It always
no,
does.
yes. Have a great day now. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The Tuck Shop podcast is recorded live on the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown campus. Update your contact information with us by visiting johnstown.pitt.edu/alumni. Connect with us online via Facebook and LinkedIn, or consider donating to the university at give2, that's givto.pitt.edu/giveupj.
This has been a production of Quantum Wave Media. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown.